Let's take a look at some that maybe have affected you as well. How about the area of health? What are some of the neuroassociations you have there that may affect you negatively? See, what do you associate, for example, to drugs? If you're the kind of person who made an investment in this kind of a program, it's highly unlikely you have got major addictions. Possible, but unlikely. But if somebody does take drugs, why do they do it? And for example, cocaine. Cocaine is a $100 billion a year product, the number one selling product in America. How come they're so effective? Is it because they have such great salespeople? I doubt it. The bottom line is cocaine does something that virtually everybody wants. It immediately eliminates pain and creates instant what? Pleasure. Think about that. That's what drives human behavior. And by the way, now they've made it dirt cheap, and we wonder why we have an epidemic on our hands. Now, there's a question. How come everyone isn't on cocaine if it does the two things human beings want? Because some people link up in their mind doing cocaine means ultimate pain. Pain of being out of control. Like, I would never take cocaine in a billion years. Why? Because cocaine to me means being out of control. Not having the freedom to really make my life the way I want it to be. Being addicted, which to me is like the most disgusting emotion I can imagine. Being in a situation where I'm doing something unlawful, doing something that I've got to do behind somebody's back. I mean, everything I can imagine that's filthy or dirty in terms of pictures or images or feelings, I would associate to that process. Being broke, wasting my money, I associate to it as well. So I wouldn't do it. But somebody who does clearly links pleasure to the process. Why do I have those associations? Did they just grow up out of the ground? No. When I was in grade school, I had the good fortune of watching some films. And in those films, they showed people that were drug addicted on heroin and LSD. And it was during the 60s. And I got associations that were so disgusting and so scary and so fearful that those sensations, I don't even remember the pictures or anything else anymore. All I know is in my gut, in my nervous system, I created ultimate pain to using drugs. I never have. What about alcohol? Here's a drug that is commonly used by most of us because we've been programmed. We've been programmed to associate drinking alcohol to being pleasurable. I got a question for you. Was it really pleasurable the first time you drank it? If you took some hard whiskey and drank it, did you go, yumbo, that's just good stuff? I doubt it very seriously. You learned to associate pleasure to alcohol. The unfortunate thing is somebody taught you to do that. Now, it may have been through role models, but they were originally sold by somebody who sold everyone on the idea. That is the manufacturer, the person who's making the dollars and cents. Now, here's the challenge. Statistics show year after year that the majority of automobile accidents that end in death are alcohol-related. It's one of the biggest killers in America. Yet most people in America have abused or do abuse on a fairly decent regular basis. Some don't. And our society is changing. Why? Because now we're seeing on television over and over again things like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We're seeing imagery. We're putting out commercials that get people to associate drinking is not cool, or excess drinking, let's be specific, is not cool. That it's going to mean death. That if you let a friend drive and they're drunk, you might as well be killing them. Those kinds of associations are starting to create cultural changes in the way we look at alcohol as a whole, just as cigarettes have begun to change as well. Now, for me, I never drank alcohol in any mass. Why? Well, because I had a fairly smart mom. She was a good neuroassociative conditioning specialist. She didn't know it at the time, but she created a technology, and I've modeled it from her later on. One day, I watched my father, who drank beer every day. That was one of his pleasurable things, like a lot of Americans. And my dad was drinking, and I wanted to be like my dad, so I wanted to have some beer. So I said to my mom, and I said, I want some beer too here. And my mom said, no, you're not, you know, that's not what you want to do. It's not good for you. If it's not good for me, how come dad's doing it? Well, because he's an adult. Well, I want to be an adult. Right now, why did I want to drink the alcohol? Was it because I tasted it and was addicted to it? No, because I want to be like dad. Because see, if you're like dad, that means pleasure. You're a big kid, you know, there you are, you and dad. So I want to be like him. I thought that would mean pleasure. My mom kept telling me no, I kept arguing. I had an intelligent mom. She stopped arguing with me. She said, you know what? I'll make you a deal. Here's what you do. If I let you drink this, then you got to drink a whole six-pack just like dad. All right? And you cannot stop. Even if you don't want to, you got to drink the whole thing. Is it a deal? I said, no problem. I don't know how old I was, maybe 12 years old, maybe 13 years old, maybe 11 years old, something like that at the time. But I do remember the experience to this day. I started drinking this drink, and I thought, God, this stuff tastes terrible. But see, I knew it was supposed to taste good, so I went, yeah, dad. And I drank some more, and I drank some more, and it tasted pretty lousy. And as I drank more and more, I didn't feel very good. And after I finally finished the whole first can, I said, that's enough. And my mom said, no, remember our deal. Somewhere around the second can, maybe two and a half, I vomited all over the table, all over the beer, all over everything. And my mom said, keep drinking. I said, no, 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 keep drinking. Guess what I associated to beer? To this day, the smell of beer is something I can't even stand. She conditioned me to have a different association. Now, you might have said, well, that's terrible. I kind of liked the results. It made me look for other ways to make myself feel good other than something that drastically changed my biochemistry and took me out of control. Now, I'm not making you wrong if you drink, obviously. I'm not one of those people that's here to be an evangelist, but I do want to give you more choices. You're going to learn how to get the same kinds of feeling changes, or what we call state changes, in your body and in your emotions that you could get from drugs or alcohol or food, but to do it without the use of any of those things. But meanwhile, right now, what I want you to do is take control and take a look at the consequences of your behaviors. That's what studying destiny is all about for me, saying, what are the consequences of the present associations I have in my life? Where are they taking me? Are they taking me in the direction I really want to go? Hey, cigarette smoking. Why do people in our society smoke cigarettes? Answer's real simple. Because someone trained them to link pleasure to it. That's their neuroassociations. But what's the destiny of all of these things? Think about it. Did you smoke a cigarette for the first time and go, yumbo? I doubt it very seriously. You probably coughed and choked and your brain went, hey, stupid, what are you doing here? But you kept on smoking. Why? Because you watched commercials and you watched your friends and you watched movies where over and over again, what was linked to cigarettes? You were taught. Well, think about it. A small group of people got together one day and they said, you know what? We got a product. It's dirt cheap. It's totally addictive. If we sell it and we get enough people to get addicted to it, we literally can make billions of dollars. Now, one of the guys in the group said, we got a problem, guys. Our product stinks and it kills people. And the other guy said, don't worry. People are stupid. We can train them. We'll just condition them to link to cigarette smoking the things they want most, things that have nothing to do with cigarettes. And what are the things they told you'd get by smoking cigarettes? Think about it. What would you get? Well, you could be cool, K-O-O-L. You could be independent. You could be strong. In fact, you'd rather fight than switch. That makes sense. You'd rather punch somebody than switch brands of nicotine you could take in. So if the way I do that is to smoke a cigarette, no problem, because the pleasure will be worth it. In fact, that pleasure is much, much more real than the pain of a few moments of choking on the cigarette. What else would you get if you smoke cigarettes? Well, it's obvious. You'd be independent. You've come a long way, baby. And you're not going to go much further if you keep on smoking. I mean, seriously, the bottom line is we've linked all kinds of things here. In fact, sex is one of the major ones, right? Think about it. Boy, if you smoked, you'd be sexy. Doesn't that make you really, you know, think of somebody sexy when you smell their breath other than smoking? Doesn't that, like, turn you on and stuff? I don't know about you, but it's not high on my list. And you know what? Or you'll be able to relax. If you smoke, you'll be able to relax. That's true. If you keep smoking, you're going to be able to relax for a long time. Seriously, what happened? You went to smoke the cigarette and your brain went, hey, stupid, what are you doing? But then another part of your brain went, shut up, brain, the sex will be worth it. And you just went on doing it even further.